You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Worship and Giving by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Whatever God's going to do, he uses a man to do it. And there are specific people. Vision is given to a man or woman about a preferable future, about what things should be, ought to be, and what is going to be when we get together and go from A to Z. And so God raises up a man, God raises up a woman, and then he connects that other people to that man or that woman of God, and they are to cast a vision of what God told them to do. And when other people get involved with that called, anointed, ordained man and or woman of God, and then help him do what God called him to do, they get done what God told them to do, and you get blessed for helping them do it. That's how things work in the kingdom of God. Now, you need to understand, people don't understand that, and the world don't understand that, so they'll say stuff like, you just do whatever that preacher asks you to do, don't you? If anything he wants you to do, you just do it, huh? I'm sure people would say it about me when they see me down at a conference with Bishop Jay. Bishop Jay, every day offer he asks for, I'm just right down there. I told y'all he usually would ask for $1,000, and I come prepared, $1,000, oh God. And so he said, tonight I want to ask, and everybody who could give a $10,000, I said, oh, $10,000, did you say? Oh, Jesus. I'd have moved too fast. Okay? I'd have moved too fast, and I said, oh, gee, I'm going to walk to $10,000. Then I didn't think I had anything on me, a check or anything. And I wasn't going to put on the credit card. Okay? I had a check around me. And then I think I had this right here. And I looked down here. Glory to God. And just like right now, there was one check in there. The Lord said, write the check out for $10,000. Okay. Now the reason why I'm prompt to do it, number one, is because I believe when I help another man do what God called him to do, God will raise up somebody to help me do what I need to do. I also do that because it's an example for me to demonstrate the kind of people I need God to connect to me. People who are prompt to do it, who have a willing heart to do it, and if I ain't willing to sow it, then I have no right to reap it. Amen. So the first thing needs to be what in order to be worship and giving needs to be what? Needs to be willing. You need to be willing, have a willing mind, a willing heart. Number two, in order for your giving to be worship, it needs to be meaningful and valuable to you. What you give needs to be meaningful and valuable to you. Look at Genesis 4, the first offering that we see given. Genesis 4, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. An offering there almost can be put in parentheses, in brackets. It's like it was nothing special. He brought an offering unto the Lord. But verse 4, and Abel, his brother, he also brought of the what? The firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, tithes and offerings, the first and the best. He brought the firstling and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God honored Abel and honored his offering. God accepted Abel and accepted his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He's mad because God accepts Abel's offering, but doesn't accept Cain's offering. How many of y'all, any of y'all ever come out to church that will go to receive an offering and tell y'all, it don't matter what you give as long as you give something? Any of y'all ever heard that? That ain't true. That's a lie. Or it's at least a misunderstanding, because maybe the intention is not to lie to you, okay? Because lie intends, I mean, that talks about intent. But it's not true that you just don't matter what you give as long as you give something. Ask Cain if that's true. Cain will let you know that ain't true. I gave something and God didn't receive it. Amen. So the implication, it wasn't willingly, and it surely wasn't something meaningful or valuable. The Bible says he brought an offering. An offering. It don't matter what you give, as long as you give something, that's not true. Because God has specific requirements as to what type of offering he would accept and what he would not accept. God does not accept every offering. What we just called it, it's called an offering. It's called what a, come on, listen to the words. It's called what an offering. What's the root word of offering? Offer. An offer is, would you like some water? Okay. Huh? She said, I want some money. Don't lose the revelation with the illustration. I'm offering you some water, and you can say, no, that's okay. I'm fine. An offer is something that you extend to for a person to either accept or reject. When you have a claim settlement and they hit your car and the car, that's pretty much, but when you say they got your bills and the first time that they call you, the claim is just to call you, I'm just trying to help you, but there's something you don't need to call an attorney about. I mean, come on, you got $200 medical bills, you ain't getting $10,000. Stop letting these people lie to you. Okay? And let me tell you something else. This y'all need to understand this here. If it's true, the people who they say, he got me $500,000. Know what they're not showing you? That the person that they're showing you that is in a wheelchair. They ain't showing you that. Okay? So if you're getting $500,000, you messed up. So you can want your $500,000 from your ass and you want to. You're going to be messed up to get $500,000. I'm just telling y'all now. So y'all, listen to all these commercials, and they've got y'all thinking you got $200 in medical bills and your foot hurt, and you think you're going to get $10,000. But the truth of the matter, whatever they first call you to tell you, it's an offer. They're never going to just offer you their max. It's something they're calling, I'm exposing the business here, they call it the reserve. They reserve to take out of the company's profits, put money aside to pay future claims. That's called reserve. And for every time there's a claim, there's reserves put up. And they make an offer. And I'm just telling you right now, don't accept the first offer. I got two people in my mind. They're going to be mad at me telling you all this stuff in my family. Okay? Because it's an offer. Well, when you bring an offering to the Lord, it's an offering. Now I want to let you know I accept it. Just I want you to be clear. I accept it. Mad, glad, sad, I don't care. We're going to accept it. The work of the Lord going to go on. And I accept all offerings. The church will accept all offerings. Just because we accept it don't mean God accepts it. And our goal is that we want God to accept it. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable what? In thy sight. That's the goal. We want even our offering to be worshipped so it's accepted in God's sight. Let's go down to Leviticus 22. So God has, in order for it to be worshipped, God has very specific criteria for what you could and could not bring him. Don't matter what you bring, just as long as you bring something. God never said that, and that's not backed up by the scripture. So let's look at Leviticus 22. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because it gives us a little more clarity. Leviticus 22, starting verse 21. If you present a peace offering to the Lord from the herd or the flock, whether it is to fulfill a vow or it is a voluntary or free will offering, you must offer a perfect animal. You what? He didn't say, I prefer. You must offer a perfect animal. It may have no defect of any kind. You must not offer an animal that is blind, crippled, injured, that has a wart. God said, I don't even want to have a mole on his face. That has a wart, a skin sore, or scabs. Such animals must never be offered on the altar as special gifts to the Lord. If a bull or lamb has a leg that is too short or too long, It may be offered as a voluntary offering, but it may not be offered to fulfill a vow. Y'all see that? God said, put some respect on my name. God said, when you come to me, come correct. Come to bring me an offering that's worthy of who I am. See, when I bring men of God who are highly esteemed, I give them an honorarium or an offering that I feel is worthy, some of y'all understand, of the places that they walk in the body of Christ. If they're a general, I pay them like a general. You follow me? That's work. Now, come on, y'all. Do y'all think it would be an insult for me to ask Bishop Jake to come preach for me and I gave him $100? See, somebody even laughing. Somebody said, let me see if you can get him here. Okay? Come on now. I'm glad you laughed about that and you can see that. Because if we can see that about a man of God, that would be an insult for me to give him $100 based upon who he is and what he does. And just the fact that of all the places he could go or be, he chose to come here. You follow me? If we can understand that about a man, how much more God? That we need to come correct before God and bring him our best, bring him something that's meaningful and that's valuable. Go to Malachi 1. Just before God tells him in Malachi 3, he says, you're cursed with a curse. He says, and so I'm telling you, bring the tithes and offering, but also get your heart right. And so he first is rebuking them for what they have been doing and the attitude that they've been doing it in. And so he says in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 8, God said, you call the Lord's table contemptible. You say, you're despising it. It's bringing an offering to the altar of the Lord. It's not a big deal for you. He said, oh, no, God, that ain't true. He said, no. Watch this. I'm reading New Living Translation again. He said, when you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? Answer the question. Is that wrong? Yeah, we just saw it's wrong according to Leviticus 22, right? He said, and isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Yes, we know it is based upon what he told them in Leviticus 22. Then he said, try giving gifts like this to your governor and see how pleased he is. See, it was understood if you want to go before a man of authority to hear your case, to have favor with them, they came with a gift. That's what it really means when the Bible says a man's gift maketh room for him and bringing him before great men. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're a good singer and you can really pull it when you preach. A man's gift. He's talking about your gift, your something precious that you bring to present to him. The Queen of Sheba, she didn't just go busting up in the palace to talk to Solomon. She came with a train and with spices to present herself to him so she can get an audience with him. And then after he gave her answers, now watch it. Well, this was so good. The first gift she gave was just to get in the door. And after she saw the anointing that was on his life, then she whistled down to the neighbor and said, bring all the rest of the stuff that y'all got out there. And now she really blessed Solomon. So God says, try giving gifts like that to your governor. See how pleased he is, says the Lord of Heaven's army. Go ahead. Verse 9, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show any favor at all? And the Lord of Heaven's armies. Now watch this. I know we can't bribe God and you can't buy a blessing. But this is just a rhetorical question. Is your offering measuring your request? And I'm not talking about quantity. I'm talking about based upon what's precious and valuable. 2 Samuel 24. The context here, God has put a plague on Israel and the army because David counted the people to see how many people he needed to win. And God said, don't count the people. You just do what I tell you to do and don't worry about how many people you got because it's not going to be by might nor by power. It's by my spirit. David counts the people and God brings a plague for the people. And God literally comes before Abraham. David says, okay, you got door number one, door number two, door number three judgment. You choose. He said, door number one, he said, you'll be chased by your enemies for several days. Door number two, you're going to be oppressed by your enemies, and they're going to take your land and all that kind of. And then he said, and number three, you can just let God judge you. And David's smart. David said, listen, I'd just rather let God judge me because he's a merciful God. And so God allows this plague to come over the people. 7,000 men are killed, and then God stops the angel and says, all right, no more. Just as David thought, because God's a merciful God. A lot more could be God let that plague go on. And so now, so David, he wants to get this plague stopped. Let's pick up here 2 Samuel 24, verse 21. And Araunah, who's another king, David comes before him to go buy stuff so he can prepare a sacrifice. He said, wherefore is the Lord your king come to your servant? David said, I came to buy the threshing floor of thee. I came to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be stayed or stopped from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer what seemeth good to him. Whatever you want, just go ahead and take it. Behold, here, you got there's some oxen for your burnt sacrifice. You got threshing instruments, and you got other instruments of the oxen for wood. He said, all these things did Araunah as a king give unto David, meaning free of charge. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. He said, man, we good. You don't need to pay me anything. But look what David said. And the king said to Araunah, nay. Everybody say nay. Nay. I'm telling y'all, this is so good. Y'all only the second people hearing it. Okay? I got revelation. Nay. Nay. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to me. God showed this to me by the Spirit. At noon. Nay. Nay. No way. Y'all see it? You see it right there? Is that revelation? No way. That's what nay means. The Lord showed it to me noon service. Aren't you glad you came to Bible study tonight? Now you know what nay means. Nay means no way. Just kind of put it together. Like ain't. Okay? He says, nay, no way, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. I got to pay something. I got to have some skin in the game. I got to have something invested. It got to be something valuable to me for me to bring it before the Lord. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord of that which what? Doth cost me nothing. Y'all see that? He said, when I come before God, it got to mean something. It got to, watch this. I heard a preacher say this many years ago. It stuck with me. If it don't move you, it probably don't move God. He said, I can't give God that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. When you study that in today's economy, it's equivalent of about $6,000 that he bought to just prepare the sacrifice for God. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. I told you I've been in church all my life. So there's a lot of things I learned and I saw. And so when I see things where I get corrected from the word, I say, okay, man, that was wrong. Oh, no, that's why there was no harvest from that. For example, we used to be in church, and we'd go to receive an offering, and the preacher would say, come on, everybody get $3 in your hand. Everybody get $3 in your hand. And then he would say, anybody don't have the $3? Let's make sure everybody has $3. And they would tell others, come on, give less. And so people would start giving $3 because we want everybody to be blessed. If I give you the $3, that ain't your blessing. I'm just getting double. Come on down. See that stuff, it may make a good offering. It may sound good, but that costs you nothing. That's my office. Amen. And so you got to have something vested in this. The third and final thing that makes our giving worship, for worship and giving, it must reflect an attitude of gratitude. So you got to be willing. It needs to be valuable to you, even as Isaac was valuable and precious to Abraham. And thirdly, it must reflect an attitude of gratitude. Everybody say attitude of gratitude. 1 Chronicles 29. So David goes to receive the offering to build the temple that God tells him that Solomon is to build. He can't build it. Solomon's going to build it. But he said, you can prepare for your son to build it. So he receives an offering. He says how much he's going to give. Then he tells everybody else to give. Let's pick up here in verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered what? They offered how? Come on. They offered how? So that means the first one, right? They offered willingly, because with perfect heart, that's the spirit involved, they offered willing to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, right in God, in the people's presence. He's thanking God for this offering. He blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. It comes from you. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. And in your hand is power and might. In your hand is the ability to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And then he starts thinking, man, he started looking at this great heap. I mean, they're bringing all these elements, and they all bring all these stones and all this silver and all this gold and iron and these great heaps. And he looks at it, he says, God, my goodness, Lord, you are so good. Who am I? And what is this people that we are able to offer unto you so willingly after this sort? See, and to me, nobody can relate to this as much in the scripture like African Americans. I didn't just say Africans, I said African Americans. Because when you look at where we came from, every time we give our offering and you still can pay your bills, you ought to be giving God praise. God, you've been good to me. Hallelujah. With the truth of the matter is, you know, as much as, you know, I'm always trying to move forward and move ahead, and never, nothing happens as quick as I want it to happen. It always happens. You know, we try to pay kids' town off and doing this and doing that. And so the year before, I can't remember that, Pastor Marshall and I went to the Museum of African American History. And when you go through, and I encourage everybody to go, every American needs to go, for regardless of color. Every American needs to go to see that history. But when we went and we saw like one of the first organized African American churches that was built, and it's a replica of it there, or it was taken there, whatever. And I looked at this, and the whole thing is maybe, my goodness, it's maybe 20 feet by 10 feet. And I looked at that, and I said, that was one of our first churches as a people in this country. Then I thought about it. I said, we got a $2 million building that I built and paid off. We got 40 acres of land that the government didn't give us. For all you still waiting for those 40 acres, they ain't going to give it. 45, you better hold on to the ones you got. He going to take it. Okay, so got 40 acres of land, multiple campuses, paid off a $4 million building, paid off a $2 million building, and I looked at that, I said, God, I have nothing to complain about. Look how good you've been in the right direction, how good you've been to me to even lead a church of this magnitude. I'm a boy from the projects. I don't care how much you get, how much money you get, how far you get, how many degrees you get behind your name. Don't you forget, come on, where you came from and where your people came from and where your foreparents came from. And the children of Israel were always going back remembering that. David is a rich man. He has no need. And he would often say, I mean, when Michal, Saul's daughter, got mad at him, look at you. You just showing your behind today. Come out there dancing in front of all the maidens. He said, yeah, I'll be more violent. He said, don't get mad at me because God made me the king instead of your daddy. He was grateful. He said, I was a shepherd boy. My father wouldn't even call my name, but God knew my name. My father wouldn't even acknowledge me, but the heavenly father acknowledged me. Yeah, I'll praise. So he remembers this. He said, but who am I? What are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this? So how many of y'all came out of the AME church? How many of y'all grew up in the AME church? Okay. Here's the verse for your hymn. And so y'all know the words. Know where it came from. Okay, that he said, for all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Now you know what it says.
Getting into the presence of God brings peace, clarity, and joy. When we praise and worship God, we express our dependence on Him and our reverence for who He is. This powerful series helps you to understand the power of praise and worship. Order today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Call to Worship.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.